Good morning. I'm Shannon Gray with your KG&C Agribusiness News Hour. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we are speaking with Stilley Fischbacher of Texas Wheat Producers. And Stilley, thanks for being back with us.
Yeah, glad to be here this morning.
Absolutely. And, we're still able to kind of give a well-rounded report on crop, what's happening out in the fields. So let's go ahead and start off with that for today.
Sure. Well, we're nearing that time of the year where we have less detailed crop condition reports. First off, we have put on pause of weekly reports that we get from USDA NAS. Those will resume in April, so we won't have updated week-to-week figures. That kind of coincides with the crop just developing less during to this normal time frame that we're in as we enter winter. I do have recent information from USDA on our crop index scores that I'd like to go over. But in addition to that, just kind of that ongoing conversation of requiring additional moisture. It's not the critical time, so we're kind of have most of our acres of wheat emerged. And so once that wheat has emerged, we do know we would like to have moisture, but the kind of critical nature and immediate need is a little bit lower at this point in the status of the crop. As we move through winter, and especially as we enter spring, it becomes more critical for immediate moisture. Right now, we do have several wheat growing areas still battling some form of drought. That is true for Texas, and that's true for several other wheat growing states. In fact, the Southern Plains, which is kind of our core hard red winter growing region, is facing very widespread drought conditions, and that's ongoing and expected to continue based on the projection for a La Niña event. If we look at how the crop is currently doing, national figures for a crop index is 329 at this point. So that's kind of an averaged out figure that tells us with one number how our crop looks. The most useful way to look at that number is to compare it to a longer term average. So, like I said, our crop index right now nationally is at 329. We compare that to an average at this time of 355. So, as we can see, those dry conditions have been having an impact on the development of the crop. We look at the same figure for Texas, and we are currently at 298 compared to the average of 336. So, again, that same story of dry conditions kind of impacting our crop conditions. We had a board meeting in the recent couple of weeks here. We had that virtually, and we heard that from several of our board members. I did not hear a lot of concern from them as they surveyed their crops across the state, did not hear a lot of concern about the condition of the crop right now, but a lot of those comments about moving forward and needing more moisture. So that's kind of what we're seeing and hearing about current crop conditions. As I said, kind of a slower season for weekly reports on that, but always important to make sure we keep an eye and continue to get those reports from farmers of what they're seeing in the field.
Yeah, and with that, the information we get on supply, on usage, on prospective plantings, that's all just as important. And I know USDA just released their October numbers, I believe, for the World Agricultural Supply and Demand's estimates.
Yes, that's right. So we did just recently get that report. Kind of a little bit of a surprise for wheat in that report, and that they reduced global ending stocks. I think a lot of the pre-estimate reports were expecting an increase, a slight increase, but that's not what we saw in the report. So when you dig down into the figures, we are still expecting record world production based on increases in Australia, Canada, and Russia. And those pre-report estimates did come out in that report that we did see increases in those countries and increase to our world production figure. At the same time, what we saw was an increase in consumption estimates. Really a big one in feed use, specifically in China, where corn has become very expensive. It seems like USDA is expecting China to feed more wheat than they usually do. China also is expected to import more than they ever have, well, to expected to import more wheat than they have since 95, 96, that marketing year. So they're going to be importing a lot more wheat, expected to feed a lot more wheat, and that does change the global ending stock. It's also important, anytime we talk about this global ending stock figure, even though it was reduced in this most recent point, it's important to know that that is still at a very high level. Mostly, it is at a very high level because China is expected to have 51% of the world's global supply at the end of this marketing year in storage. When you look at what's going to be done with that wheat, China does not typically export wheat. So when we start looking at what impacts our price here at home more, it's what's happening in those exporting countries and what type of supply situation do they have. And so that's why right now we're seeing a little bit higher prices than we usually have the last couple of years for wheat, just because we are tightening our supplies here at home. And in some of these exporting countries, we're seeing a tightening of supplies as well. Even though we are still seeing really high world carryover, you have to kind of separate out what China has in that very large amount of the global stocks that they have in storage. Here locally, let's talk more about the U.S. figures. We are expecting smaller supplies for this year's crop, so that's a lower production estimate. Higher exports, they actually raised that on increased demand that we're seeing for hard white wheat. The hard red winter wheat figure was lower just a bit, but overall higher expectations for exports. And then a continued contracting of our ending stocks here in the U.S. In fact, a projection of 16% lower than last year. So we're moving the right direction in U.S. ending stocks, which is lending support to our price as well. In fact, our U.S. stocks-to-use ratio is actually the tightest that we've seen since 14-15. So again, more favorable for better prices for our farmers as we have a tightening of U.S. supplies. So that's what we'll be watching throughout the development of this year's crop and then as we end our marketing year. So that's kind of what we were looking at in that report. Again, kind of a little bit of a surprise for wheat, and maybe the most favorable report of the major commodities was in the wheat section. So definitely interesting and important news that we had from USDA in that report.
Yeah, wonderful. That's definitely looking at the more number heavy side of things. But right now, as you know, and of course, everybody else knows, is this presidential election. It's, I feel like we're on day 36 of this whole thing. But we are looking at a transition team coming into the White House. And there are some appointments. We've heard some hearsay about who might be doing what when that transition happens. What have you heard on that front?
Well, official announcements, and like you said, even some just media reports. But big news last week, not only did we have a nominee named for USDA Ag Secretary in Tom Vilsack, which would be a very familiar face to our ag producers, him serving for many years in the Obama administration and having a very strong relationship and tie to ag producers, as when he moved out of that administration, he did go right into working for the dairy industry in a promotion role in terms of working on export promotion. So he's very familiar with production agriculture. We are very familiar with him and where he stands on a lot of our issues. And so it was big news to see that he was named as nominee for that role, something that we had been watching very closely. We also got kind of some reports about a new U.S. trade rep, and Catherine Tai, who would have in her career a lot of experience dealing with trade with China, which is something we discussed a lot in that previous report, was that when we're talking about wheat or really any ag commodity, we have to be talking about what's happening in China. It's a big player in global markets. And especially trade with China, obviously, over the past couple of years. And the Trump administration, we've seen a lot of different moves in terms of the escalation of trade disruption through the use of tariffs. And then as we've moved into the Phase One agreement, which has been very favorable for agriculture, and we've seen increased exports to that country for wheat and other commodities. And very interesting, and I think very important, that we're going to have somebody who has a lot of experience dealing with China on trade. Now, that said, we do know with both of these nominees and candidates that we will have to make sure that we are telling the story of agriculture. That is our role here at Texas Wheat, and that's what we try to bring at the national level as well, making sure that these folks who move into those positions understand the needs of our producers here at home. So that was very big news to be watching in Washington. Also, a lot of movement on fiscal matters in Washington, D.C. So there was a CR for the funding for the government so that we didn't go into a shutdown scenario in this past week. And so that's something that is still going to be up for debate, is what's happening with our funding situation, as well as still discussions based around additional COVID aid and making sure that agriculture is represented in those discussions as well. So a lot going on at the federal level.
Okay, yeah. And then rounding things out today, you have an update on a program that you want everybody to know about.
That's right. So the wheat industry has been kind of brainstorming what can we be doing better to build and promote wheat products, bread-based products. The Grain Foods Foundation in recent years has been trying to put together a bread basket checkoff that would be funded by milling and baking industries. So right now we have individual state wheat association checkoffs where our farmers are funding our efforts for promotion and research. This would be funded by milling and baking industries and kind of dedicated solely to promotion and research on bread basket items. So we're talking about bread items, sweet items in the grocery store that all are wheat-based. So anything we can do to promote those products and generate additional sales of those products is eventually going to benefit our farmers as well. For using more wheat, there's going to be higher demand for wheat here domestically. So very, very exciting idea that we've been following for several years. They recently had a call with across the wheat industry and had a lot of support on that call for getting this program in place. Right now, they are still trying to make sure that they can get as much of the industry on board as possible, and then they'll have to run this process through USDA, and that's already been started at some level. There might be some changes forthcoming to some of the proposals that they have, but really to fill a critical gap that we see. We have several wheat organizations, and we have some that do focus on educating consumers. They've always been strapped for cash because while the baking and milling industries do participate in those organizations, they do so maybe at a smaller level than what we would see in this checkoff. It would be a more concentrated, bigger effort to educate consumers on the value and importance of wheat products and really try to generate those sales. So kind of thinking about kind of milk campaigns that we've seen, and then the beef, it's what's for dinner, those really successful campaigns that we've seen in the past that have really pushed forward some of those commodities. We'd love to see the same thing for wheat. So we're going to continue to support these efforts and try to get this bread basket checkoff off the ground.
Yeah, definitely another program that we're going to look forward to watching come up off the ground and really blossom. So thank you again, Stilly, for visiting with us today. That is Stilly Fischbacher of Texas Wheat Producers. And we're out of time. That's going to round out our show today. Please go out there and make it a great one. I'm KGNC Agribusiness News Director, Shannon Gray.